effectively and properly. Some of us will say, I cannot come and kill myself and die over another man's work. That is a wrong attitude that the devil has sold, and somehow we are embracing. Yoruba says, Ishe Oke Npayan, that his work does not kill, that his do it, you cannot die. It's not so much about doing it because of the man. You are doing it unto God. So once the opportunity has come, if you need to be stressed a bit, then you embrace it, commit to it, and see to the end of it. Remember, part of the points last week is that there's no work you do that will not stress you. So kill yourself and come and die. As long as it is work, you are looking at it from the angle of what you are walking unto God. And because you are walking unto God, you will come and kill yourself and die on it, because it is God you are doing it for. It is not for another man. It is because God has brought the work your way. It's a privilege. And he says, whatever work has found you to do, do it with the whole of your might, because a time will come when you're in the grave, you will not be able to walk. There will be no machineries to walk. There will be no knowledge needed in the grave. The time of work would have passed and finished. But while you are here on earth, whatever work finds you to do, do it well. Hallelujah. The third point I'll present about the attitude for work is hope. Hope. Go to work with hope of a reward. Hallelujah. Reward here, not necessarily speaking about money, but hope that what you are committing, the labors you are committing your hands to, will yield a reward. It may be in terms of seeing your effort, you know, come bringing out something fruitful, like maybe a mother who is working, whose work is primarily to keep the home and keep the children. You know, you are doing it in anticipation that your children will turn out, you know, so that is the anticipation that the children will turn out well. So that's the reward. So not necessarily about the money, but that the work you are doing will yield something beneficial. Yeah, that is it. You go to work in hope, with anticipation that as you're committing to it, it should yield something out of it. There should be a positive, a good yield of fruit. Yeah, a good yield of what you're doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll read verse 10. I think it's verse 10b that we are interested in. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, 9, verse 10. It says, let me read from 8. It says, do I say these things as a mere man, or okay, 10. It says 9. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, so 10. It says, or does he say it, or does he say it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. That he who plows should plow in hope. That is, he who commits a seed to the ground, you know, he who plows, who plants, who tills the ground with an expectation to plant and all that, that should do it in hope. You're supposed to have an attitude where you approach work in hope that the work I am committing my hands to will yield something. You go with it in hope. You go with it in anticipation. And I think the right way or the right people to learn from, or, you know, going by the scripture that we read, is from the farmers. Farmers. Somehow, some of us, we know that once we do this and we do that and we do that, this is the results we will get. Some of us, it is almost quite definite and sure what the result of the work we will get is. But a farmer, when he picks a seed and he puts it to the ground, he does it in absolute hope, faith, anticipation that the seed he has put to the ground, the Lord will send the rain. Because if the rain does not come, the seed will not germinate. He does it in hope that when the rains do come, it will not be too much. That is a flood that will wash the seed away. He does it in anticipation that as the seed begins to shoot out, that rodents and plants and grasshoppers will not come and devour it. A farmer goes to labor, to work. He plows in anticipation of a good result, not at the expense of the work he has to put to it, but from the beginning it is in hope. I'll read something I read about, or from, I think, a farmer. It says, I can't think of a better description of what it takes to endure as a farmer or rancher. Says farm life brings both unplanned hard times and surprising rich blessings. It takes faith to plant a crop without knowing what will work or not. And there he begins to list whether the rains will fall, whether they will have, you know, people who will join them to harvest, whether a strong wind will not come and just clear everything, whether some kind of devourer will not come and devour everything. Those are the bad times, and sometimes, you know, you're not even sure whether they will just have, you know, this super abundant produce that sometimes they are not even able to manage. But the idea here, so I said that, or I read that to say this. When we approach work, irrespective of what the result is, we are ready to do it again and again in anticipation that God will make it yield something. The farmer, part of what he wrote, part of what I read, is how sometimes even when everything scatters, he goes in faith, in hope, to pick up from wherever they have found themselves and begin to plant again. You do work, you approach work in hope. In hope that what you're doing will come with a yielding. I know some people who, before they start, already are hopeless about it. I've heard some people, no, you do not approach work in that manner. Approach it in the manner that, ojama wa mata. That is, there will be market and we will sell. We will sell well. You approach in anticipation that it will be good. It will be a good sales. You approach work in anticipation that you would have the right response. You approach work in anticipation that you would meet your demand, you meet your targets and surpass it. You approach work in anticipation that even if I lose this one customer, I will gain another. You approach it in anticipation, even if this one does not respond, that one will respond. You approach in anticipation and in hope that the Lord is, that you are walking onto, is able to bless the works of your hands. That is what the scripture says. We read that last week. It says, I will bless the works of your hands. That is what it told the Israelites. And you are not an exception, because you are walking as unto the Lord. He is going to bless the works of your hands. You set up a business in hope and in anticipation that it is going to do well. Every other around may not do well, but this one is set up as I am walking unto the Lord, and I am anticipating in Him to bless it. Don't start to work, don't get to work, don't go to work already feeling like you have lost before you even started. Those who run in the 100 meters, 200 meters, part of what their psychologists teach them is to not particularly look at the names on the list that they are running with, or assume that, Usain Bolt is here, I can't carry first. They psych them up with this mindset that you are the one that will come it, that will lead the race. 10 seconds race, but they psych them up to forget every other, whatever other name. But they do it with an anticipation that you are going to win it. To get into your walk with anticipation, with good hope, not with discouragement. Do embrace the discouragement. See that which God is able to do, and not that which the world is telling you will happen, or what statistics is saying is expected to happen. Set it up, get out there, do it, commit to work, commit your hands to whatever work you're doing. As you commit your hands to it, do it in hope that it will yield, and it will yield well. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. I think I should just round off here because of time. What have we said? The right attitude to work is needed. God expects you as His child, as a believer, to have a right attitude to work. By the grace of God, next week we'll round off on this, then we move on. But do not forget, you have the Spirit of God. He's there to guide you, to protect you, to comfort you, to teach you, to strengthen you. You have God with you, and the way Joseph prospered, even as a slave, as recorded, it says he prospered as a slave, because you have God. You have what He requires. It means you have whom that is required to prosper. As you take and embrace this, you choose it to embrace and bring the right attitude for work. You know that work, you are working as unto God. Two, you know that whatever work you have to do, you are applying diligence to it. And three, you approach work in hope and anticipation that it will turn out well. Even if it doesn't, in the same hope you pick yourself up and you get at it again, that it will become a success. Father, I thank you for this time. And I know that your children will begin, or your children will embrace your truth, adjust and readjust whatever needs to be readjusted in their hearts, and begin to walk effectively. And our Father, thank you for beautiful results to follow. As they follow these attitudes and take them to work, thank you, God, because they will have good success and good reward at it. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we honor you. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you, Father, I pray for anyone who has any ailment in their body. Thank you, Father, because you touch and you heal. I also use this opportunity to pray for any lost soul. The Lord desires that you come. He offered Jesus to die that you may live. You don't have to go through life by yourself. Embrace his love. He died to forgive you all your sins. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for this time. Have a wonderful week as you enjoy the remaining part of service. Bye.